Welcome to the theater. Take a seat, grab some popcorn, and get ready for another horror movie double bill. This is Friday Night Fratricide.
Happy New Year, one and all. Welcome into 2024. It's a new year. There's some new horror films to watch. And some old horror films to watch. Yeah. But they're new to us, so they counts. This year is already going quite quickly.
Yeah, we're 4 days in.
Don't like it.
God.
Don't like it.
Oh.
It's going to be 2025 in no time.
Can we please take it 1 year at a time?
we can try. Yes, you're back with the Happy Brothers. I am Fraser.
And I am Ewan.
And we're here to bring you another year of tantalizing treats and spooky seats. No, that doesn't work.
Not quite. Almost.
Yeah, I'll maybe try another one at the end of the show.
Cool.
We're just back at it.
Back at it again.
We're not doing anything new.
At Krispy Kreme. I think we're kicking off with a solid theme. This is a really good, and I think next week's is good as well. We'll get to that. But yeah. I think like the first few for this year, I think we're going in strong with like some proper, these are like horror movies, you know?
Yeah. And honestly, I was a little bit surprised at how horror one of them was.
Mm.
But we'll get to that.
Yeah.
So what was your pick for this week?
Well, we've not even said what the theme is.
Oh, I thought you said it.
No.
Oh,
the theme for this week is clowns.
Sorry, you were waiting for me to say it, and I thought you'd already said it.
No, I hadn't already said it.
Sorry.
It's fine.
I've only had a couple sips of my coffee. I'm not quite there yet.
It's fine. I'll forgive you this one time.
You'd better.
Clowns. Get into the big top, bitch.
That should be the Terrifier 3 logo.
That should be the Terrifier 3
subtitle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, clowns are scary, right?
No.
No?
I don't know. I don't really find clowns that scary.
I find them
in general.
I find them pretty scary. I don't necessarily think of myself as coulrophobic.
I was going to ask you if you know what the phobia for clowns is called.
Yeah, coulrophobia. Yeah, I don't necessarily think of them as like, as much as I'm a complete wuss and I do feel like I am scared of a lot of different things, I wouldn't really put clowns that high up the list.
I think it's because they're just not a particularly common thing, especially in the UK as well.
They're not big here. Clowns are much more of a thing in the States, I think.
Yeah, and even then, it's like you only really see them through horror films or as a sort of icon of horror.
Yeah.
So you're almost desensitized to like the normality of clowns.
It's so rare that I see a clown that's not like a horror clown. They're all like, they're always horror clowns. They're never regular clowns.
You don't watch Prime Minister's Question Time?
Those are definitely some clowns.
Political zing.
Ooh. You know what was something that I did find really interesting? Quick shout out to my partner when I was watching one of the films the other day. Mm-hmm. She gave me a fun fact about clowns, which I thought was very interesting.
Okay.
You know, in Japan, coulrophobia isn't a thing.
At all?
Like, basically at all. Nobody's scared of clowns in Japan, or very, very few people are scared of clowns in Japan.
Clowns. Cool. Do they have, like, typical sort of...
They still have,
westernized
like...
Westernized clowns?
Yeah, like...
They don't have their own style of clown or anything?
No. It's all the same, like, a lot of the same, you know, motifs of being a clown. But people just don't find them scary. I guess they don't...
It's kind of weird.
Have all of the scary clown media that the West has. People don't go in for that, so it's just not really a thing.
Do the Japanese not have something with white makeup? Like white makeup sort of more...
Oh, potentially.
Not sacred, but like it's kind of...
I guess they've got like traditions surrounding people wearing white makeup, so it would make sense.
I guess that's kind of lacking in the...
I'm not much for knowing about Japanese culture, so I don't want to start making speculations. But no, I feel like they're, you know, like traditional theater and stuff like that. You've got people in what I guess is sort of reminiscent of clowns, so it wouldn't really make sense for them to find them scary.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. There you go. Maybe anyway, we're talking about clowns that are scary.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tell us what your pick was?
Yeah, my pick was All Hallows Eve. And I feel like I should get in quick and apologize for making you watch this piece of shit.
You should. You really, really should.
Because as much as I liked Terrifier mm-hmm. and loved Terrifier 2, this was not a good film.
No.
I don't know which one you want to start with, but just to give a brief overview, this is the film... This is Damien Leone's, I think, first feature-length film.
Yeah.
And it's an... it's an anthology with three parts, and then the fourth is kind of overarching, as an anthology does, you know?
Yeah.
Very reminiscent of VHS, which came out, I think, the year before.
That's a way to put it.
reminiscent. Straight copy.
Yeah.
But... it does include the first appearance of Art the Clown, who's now one of the more... Sorry?
I was just going to say, I think it, like, feature-length appearance. I think he was in... Because there was a short film version of Terrifier.
Yes.
And I think there was another short film that also had Art the Clown in it.
Possibly.
That wasn't just specifically Terrifier. I think it was, like, his first thing did have Art the Clown in it.
Okay. Yeah, possibly. But, yeah, he's... I mean, I'm struggling to think of another... horror icon from like 2010 onwards.
Yeah, there's not many from this kind of time, like recently.
Last decade or so, like I can't think characters. Of anyone else.
I mean, one of the ones that stands out is like Pennywise, but he doesn't really count because he was a thing before then. It's just
I guess you could make the argument for
Bill Skarsgård Pennywise specifically. Yeah, I guess there's another clown as well. Or like, I guess you've got characters like, I suppose Pearl. Megan, robot girl. They're not particularly iconic, but they kind of stand out as interesting new characters.
See, I would put Art above them. And then that's maybe just because I favor them.
I would agree. Yeah. I think definitely more more unique, more of a standout in his own in his own right.
Yeah. But we'll talk about that and how he fits into it and everything.
Yeah.
What did you pick?
My pick was a little bit older and definitely a lot sillier and more fun. Killer Clowns from Outer Space from the late 80s by the Chiodo brothers. It's certainly very goofy. I think it's not going to be to everybody's taste. I think this is one that's probably going to be a lot more divisive for especially horror fans now. Because this isn't the film that a lot of people who are now like really into their Ari Asters and their Robert Eggers and their A24s, if they went back and watched they would just think it was absolute shite.
Yeah.
Not that I'm just saying like, oh, they're pretentious and they can't enjoy things.
It's a very
like,
different style of film.
It's a totally
regardless
different style
of
film.
Subjective opinions on it,
yeah.
They are very different.
Yeah. So I'm interested to hear your opinion because I know that that's more my taste of film than it is mm-hmm. yours. But I still didn't think it was bad. I thought it was fairly, you know, like objectively, I thought it was pretty good. I don't think it, regardless of whether it's your taste or not.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Yeah. Do you want to go chronologically? Do you want to get the shitty one out of the way first?
I watched All Hallows Eve first, if you want to talk about
Let's do All Hallows Eve first. So 2013, we're now entering the era of Shudder originals and those style of films, the lower budget indies, I don't want to say graphic ones because there's a specific kind of vibe that these films give off that I can't quite describe.
It must have been around then that the switch went from straight to DVD to straight to streaming, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
That must have been about 2010 through to 2013.
Yeah, straight to streaming actually is maybe a good way of...
So...
Because they all have that kind of low budget, not necessarily bad looking, like some of them are, you know, very well directed, but good acting, but just like, they just have that lower budget feel to it, you know?
Independently made, they're not as polished.
This came out right about then. As I said, it came out the year after VHS, which is probably one of the more notable and arguably mainstream, I would say. I think a lot of people have probably heard of it.
Mm.
They're now on to the fourth or fifth.
Oh, yeah.
In the series.
They did, what, there was like a VHS 1 and 2.
VHS 1, 2, Viral, VHS 94, and I think VHS 84 is the one that's about to come out.
I want
to
say there's maybe two in the 90s, and then the most recent one's one in the 80s. Maybe. Is there only one in the 90s?
Actually.
I was going to say, I think there's maybe like a 99 or like a, and then a 94.
I think there's actually a New Year one. There is a New Year one. Yeah, there is. There's one of the segments, a New Year one. So maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's quite a few of them, and Damien Leone was clearly looking for a way to integrate his character of Art into feature length, and decide, and he clearly saw VHS and was like, that's a good idea.
I can do that.
I don't want to be too critical, because he has clearly improved as a filmmaker since then. I know you didn't enjoy Terrifier 2, but it is significantly better made than this.
Yeah. The thing is, I don't know how much of the improvements really can be credited to Damien Leone. Because as much as I think, like, I mean, Terrifier 2, I think I give it 2 stars.
Something like that,
out of 5. Like, not a strong score. I didn't enjoy it, but I do have to give credit to it that, like, in some places it did look really good. Mm-hmm. It had like really great effects. Like, clearly what it was going for was just this, like, throwing a bunch of like really realistic looking effects at you and scaring you that way, and it did that well. Like, that's what the Terrifier films do, so I have to give it credit for that. But like, Damien Leone's like writing and directing, I don't think has gotten any better. I think it is just as bad in the Terrifier films as it is here in All Hallows Eve. All Hallows Eve just doesn't have the budget to like improve it.
Okay.
It doesn't have like the special effects and all of this to like make it pop more and have like the one good thing going for it. It's kind of just a showcase of how much of a...
And we're back. Sorry about that, team. Had some cable issues. Seems like we cut off just as you were about to call Damien Leone a no-talent hack.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, he is.
That was your chance to rescind what you said.
No, he is, and I then went on to say that he missed his calling as a porn director, because that's what all his films look like anyway.
You did. That is the thing you said.
Cool. I'll not do that this time.
It's okay.
Do you want to move on and continue?
It's fine. We're just discussing that. The dialogue as we kick off the film is not great, and throughout the film is not great, and it does very much remind you of like those intros in porn, mm-hmm. which is a little bit of a weird thing to say given that it's two children.
I more meant in terms of the framing and the dialogue.
No, I know what you meant. I know what you meant. It's just
okay.
So babysitter, two kids. This is the overarching plot. The little boy receives a VHS tape in his Halloween pillow sack, whatever mm-hmm. they take to get all the candy.
Yeah, little plastic pumpkin.
Plastic pumpkin. He doesn't know where it came from, doesn't remember who gave him it, and insists that the babysitter put it on. And for whatever reason, this grown-ass woman decides to let him put it on rather than, like, you know, being a responsible adult and stopping him from doing it. I don't understand. So they put it on, and that's how the individual short stories are framed, is they're basically like segments on this VHS tape. Mm-hmm. Remind you of anything? I was kind of, at this point, taken so out of it, because they start watching and there's all this weird imagery, and we see Art the Clown as well being a weirdo. He's at like a train station or a bus stop or something, bullying a woman. And kind of like, if you were handed a random VHS tape and you boot it up and it's got some, even if he wasn't dressed up as a clown, if it was just some man like coming over and being really creepy and really weird and bullying a woman, you'd turn that shit off.
Yeah.
And you would not let the kids watch it. Mm-hmm. She lets the kids watch the whole first segment.
Yeah.
It's wild.
And this is like nowhere near the worst thing that happens in this first segment.
No. It's insane. I don't understand. But whatever, for the sake of the plot, we'll fire on. So the little boy and the girl throughout are like, they're so engrossed in it and amazed by this weird film and begging the babysitter to leave it on. But as the film goes on, it gets worse and worse. It moves from Art bullying some woman in a bus stop to, and it is like the same segment.
Yeah.
But it's a different woman, I think.
No, he like kidnaps her, doesn't he? Like gets her,
is it
like
the same woman? Her, because she looks different.
Yeah. They okay. probably recast her.
Maybe. yeah. So Art kidnaps the woman and she wakes up in this underground basement cellar tunnel thing. And along with two other women, and they're all chained up. And they basically decide to escape. They trace the chain to the end of its tether and break it, try to escape, and then get like assaulted by some monster yeah. of some form. And then one of the women manages to get away, runs into a homeless man who turns out to be the monster. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then she wakes up. Again? Is
like
it her?
Back in again, I guess.
Yeah, she wakes up in another location in the tunnel, tied to a bed, and then there's yet another woman mm-hmm. who's pregnant and chained yeah. up, again, for reasons. They kill her, gut her,
yeah.
pull the baby out, and then proceed to, I don't know how to, what word we can use to insinuate what happens.
They then proceed to rip off that bit from Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
There's a bunch of cultists, and then there's, like, the devil.
A big devil boy. He's got big lips. He looked like Handsome Squidward. Do you not think?
He looked like Handsome Squidward.
Yeah, he had the big lips and, like, the big forehead. It was. Yeah. I laughed because I couldn't look at it any other way. But, yeah, he does a thing, and that's it. That's the segment.
It's gross.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible and completely meaningless. There's absolutely no like plot there. It's just
no
cultists and monster degrading women.
Yeah, it's like there's no point. There's no cool. depth. There's no
great
nothing.
The kids. So they finish watching. The kids get put off to bed, and the babysitter stays up to watch the remaining two segments. The second segment is, there's no words. It's completely insane. There's like this, I don't even want to say like Doctor Who low budget alien, because it's beyond that. It's like Plan 9 from Outer Space budget.
It's not even,
if that.
Yeah.
It's made out of like egg cartons and
It's fully just like a guy in a wetsuit or like a morph suit and like a Walmart alien mask.
Yeah.
Going,
yeah,
and waving his arms around and like walking up and down.
Chasing this woman around a house.
Yeah. And she like runs outside and then back inside and then back outside again and then upstairs and downstairs. And
I can't remember what happens. Does he get her in the end?
She gets a call from her husband and then gets attacked by the alien and then runs outside and tries to start the car and the car won't start. And then she runs back inside and then gets attacked by the alien and then she's running around and then she manages to hide somewhere and then her husband calls her back or calls her again mm-hmm. or whatever and she's screaming on the phone and then the alien goes like, oh, I know where you are because of the phone, blah, and then runs and grabs her, pulls her away, and then that's it.
Yeah.
And we get the final reveal. When she pulls the sheet off the painting,
and it's a painting of Art the Clown.
It's a painting of Art the Clown.
It's nothing.
It's genuinely nothing.
It's a pickle nothing.
I don't know if I want to say that this is the worst segment because I feel like it doesn't even do anything worth criticizing.
No.
It's just like, it's fully just a waste of like 20 minutes of my fucking time.
This one was more like a porno. This was like one of those cheap alien invasion pornos.
This is fully like babysitter gets fucked by alien.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, genuinely, this is what it looks like.
It's awful. It's so, so bad. But it's over now. Final segment. I don't think anything happens in between. I think the babysitter just keeps watching. There's some of that. It's like she hears noises around the house, and the kids curl up in bed together because they're scared.
She calls somebody. She's on the phone. She's got someone her friend. A couple of times. She's like on the phone with her friend in the kitchen.
It's nothing. It's just the plot is so loose. So loose.
Fucking paper thin.
So the third segment is easily the best of the three. Does not mean it's good, but it's easily the best of the three. It actually feels a bit more like a sort of campfire story almost. But in saying that, it feels like a campfire story because it's a story that's been told countless times before. Woman pulls up to it. The old tale. I was trying to say something about like the old story of.
Yeah,
she's not
a young.
Old.
She's a young woman.
She's a young woman, but it's an old tale, and that's where. The woman pulls up to petrol station in the middle of the night, and weird things are happening. There's an argument between the cashier and, it turns out, Art the Clown, who we know who he is. She doesn't know who he is. He's just a weirdo to her. He then kills the cashier and spreads his bowels everywhere. And she spends the next 15 minutes, 20 minutes of the segment escaping Art.
Yeah.
He's chasing her in the car. She manages to escape at one point and finds another person's car. And then we get this weird segment where Art, like, chases the other car, pulls up alongside the driver, and just shoots him.
Pulls a gun out.
Which is actually something that comes up in Terrifier. I think you've stopped watching by that point.
Probably, yeah.
But I like the twist if you kind of lean into it rather than seeing it for what it, like, the silliness that it is.
A slasher villain using a gun is uncommon.
Like, that's why I like it, because it's kind of this subversion of expectations. It's like, oh, he's not going to be able to get us. I've kicked his weapon away, and then he shoots them. He just shoots them dead unceremoniously. And it's like, oh, okay.
People criticized one of the most recent, I think it was probably the sixth one, the most recent one, Scream.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, Ghostface just has a gun now. And people were like, Ghostface doesn't do that. And it's like, have you missed the whole point of these films? Ghostface is different people each time.
Yeah.
It's not one guy. It's multiple guys.
And also,
they can do different things. There doesn't need to be consistency between the characters.
He has a gun in the first one.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah, not as Ghostface, though.
He's still the killer.
When he's been found out.
Whether he's dressed up or not is irrelevant.
Yeah.
But anyway,
people complained about it. I don't think it's worth complaining about. I don't really have strong opinions about it.
No.
As much as I would like to, because it would give me something else to complain about with this film. I do like complaining about films.
I know you do. But, so the driver gets shot and obviously dies. The girl crashes the car, and then she wakes up with Art standing over her on, like, this sort of makeshift surgery bed. And the camera zooms out, and it turns out she has been quadramputated.
Yeah.
All of her limbs have been cut off. She's had a mastectomy as well, and the words, is it fat pig? What is it? Pig?
It's like misogynistic.
Yeah,
it's slurs. It's like bitch and whore.
Yeah, there's loads of
carved
stuff
into her skin.
But like the main one is not fat.
I think this pig is like
pig
there
is like carved into her stomach. And Art is just standing over her laughing.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, okay, that was horrific.
Yeah. Thank you, Damien. Very cool.
So we then go back to the babysitter for like the grand finale, the tie-off, the final round. The babysitter turns off the VHS tape. It, of course, turns itself back on because it's magic.
Horror movie.
Yeah. And Art makes his way out of the TV, basically. He tries to break his way out from inside. Which is, the shot was kind of cool. I kind of liked that, but it was fine. Considering the effects and the low budget of the rest of the film, I thought that one was better than the rest. But she doesn't manage to... She turns off the TV, but when she runs upstairs to rescue the kids, it turns out that Art has gotten to them and decapitated them and killed them. And then he comes for her. Mm-hmm. And then that's it.
And that's the end of the film.
That's the film.
That's the film. It sure is.
It's not very good, is it?
No, it's really not. It's really not.
I usually like anthologies, right? Because no matter how good the overall film is, you've got a higher than average chance of at least enjoying one of the segments.
Yeah.
You know, the rule of average says that you are going to enjoy at least one of the 4, 5, 6 segments.
Yeah.
They're all shite here.
None of them are good.
They're all bad. I don't know what to say. Like, I'm trying to find things to like about the film. Terrifier is a better introduction to Art the Clown.
Yeah.
So you can't really give him that. The all three of the stories are, you know, told better elsewhere. The acting's not good. The dialogue's not good.
It's not good visually.
I don't know. I cannot think of much to praise this film on.
Can I, before I start ripping into it, I know that you're talking about looking for things to praise it for. Can I give you the two things that I thought weren't bad about this film?
Sure, go ahead.
First of all, just because they weren't bad doesn't mean they were particularly good.
That's fair.
Just to be generous. Right at the opening of the film, and in a few places throughout, some of the music is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not exceptional, it's pretty generic, fairly cheap, 80s-esque synthy music.
Yep.
But it's passable, it's okay. And also, they do a little bit of kind of post-processing visual stuff to make the VHS segments look kind of grindhousey,
more VHS-y.
Yeah. And they do it slightly differently for each of the three segments, and it's like, again, definitely not especially good, but like decent. And they at least do it three different ways that they've got, or I guess four different ways, because you've got like the interstitial doesn't really have anything on it, and then you've got like different levels of film grain mm-hmm. in each of the three segments to make them look distinct. I really am praising the bare minimum here, Damien. This is like proper, like scraping the barrel looking for good things. Everything else about this film I genuinely thought was terrible.
Everything? Everything else?
I can't think of a single good thing. Do you have a good thing that you want to talk about?
I don't think so.
Because I couldn't think of a single good thing.
Yeah, no, I honestly don't think so. The third story was fine.
About the third story?
Uh-huh.
So one of the things that I don't like about the film is there are very few original ideas.
Yes.
They have scenes and like kills that they do just rip wholesale from other things.
Yep.
Like the whole concept in the interstitials is just a rip off of VHS. They do the scene from Rosemary's Baby when she gets impregnated by the devil.
Mm-hmm.
They do the plastic bag kill from Black Christmas. They do the like the end of the interstitials is just When a Stranger Calls. Like it's literally just When a Stranger Calls without the clown. It sucks. The third segment, as much as it is the best of the three, is fully just a remake of one of the segments from Body Bags. Not a particularly well-known film. It was John Carpenter's anthology film from the early 90s.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's not particularly good. It's only got three segments. Two of them are totally fucking wild, but one of them is really actually quite good, and it's about a woman working in a petrol station at night who realizes that she's being stalked by a serial killer.
Yeah.
This is just a rip-off of that.
I mean,
it might be a coincidence.
No,
but it's not. At the very least, the Body Bags version is so much better that I cannot give any praise to the All Hallows
Eve
version.
Yeah, I mean, one of the only podcasts that I listen to, other than ours, you know,
of course,
quick, is the No Sleep
Narcissist.
The No Sleep podcast, which is, for anyone who doesn't know, like short form fiction, horror fiction. And I love it. I love just, you know, sticking it on hour and a half episodes. You get maybe 3, 4, sometimes 5 stories if they're short. I think I have heard this woman at the petrol station, middle of the night, getting stalked, tale 6 times.
Yeah.
At least on that podcast. Different variations of it, but that story has been told so many times. It is done to death. Unless you're doing something totally unique that hasn't been done before with that base story, we don't need to see it.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm sorry. I just don't.
Yep.
So, yeah. All in all,
yeah,
bit disappointed, to be honest. I was hoping for something a little bit better and a bit more niche.
Yeah.
For Art the Clown's first outing, but
yeah. Genuinely, I think the only original idea that Damien Leone ever has had is clown scary. And that's really like the bare minimum for original ideas, isn't it? Like,
scary clown. Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how many stars did you give it?
I was actually a little generous. I gave it 1.
Okay.
I did give it that extra 0.5 star for the music being pretty good. And it, like, in places, even then, it's used pretty sparingly. But like, there are some instances of some good music. And there's I like the fact that they managed to create a pretty decent visual style.
Mm-hmm.
Not with the cinematography or anything. Literally just they whacked a filter over it. But
yeah,
like,
but, you know,
it works to make it look grindhousey.
Yeah.
And the way that they varied that across the segments to make them look a bit different was commendable.
That's fair. I gave it 1.5. I couldn't give it any more than that.
Yeah.
That was me being generous.
Yeah.
I want to like it so much. I want to like Art as a character. I mean, I do. But I don't know how I feel about this film in all honesty. Like, it was just thoroughly disappointing, and I think I was just expecting a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's really very little about this film to like and enjoy, and I think even if you're into these kind of VHS anthology gore for the sake of gore films, even then you're gonna have a hard time watching this film. Yeah. Because it's not great. But what can you do?
I'll tell you
what you can do. Wait for Terrifier 3.
Yeah. You sure can. That's coming out this year.
It sure is, and I can't wait. Can't you wait?
I can. I can, in fact, wait.
Right, why don't you take us through Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
All right. Killer Clowns from Outer Space is, I mean, it's a movie, right?
They're all movies, yeah.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, this is like a, it sure is just a movie. Yeah, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Like I said, it was made by the Chiodo brothers, which I would say is like all of them collectively, as much as it was, because it was written, directed, and produced by all of them together.
Yeah.
Directed by Stephen Chiodo, written by Charles and Stephen Chiodo, and produced by Charles, Stephen, and Edward Chiodo. So, I think there might be more Chiodos.
So, how many Chiodos are there?
I feel like one of them plays the big monster at the end, the big clown monster,
big T-Rex monster.
No, there's only 3 of them.
Okay,
one of them does play the big. I think his name's Clownzilla or something.
Yeah,
like
that tracks. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so it was made by them. Distributed by Trans World Entertainment, which I got a big kick out of when I saw that title card right at the beginning. I like that. It's like very big on the practical effects. It's something that a lot of people tend to give it credit for. Is like it's got really pretty solid looking effects, definitely. It's about clowns from space who are killers.
That's accurate. That is bang on.
So yeah. You've got the 2 main characters, Mike and Debbie. Mike's surname is apparently Tobacco. Apparently his full name is Mike Tobacco.
Mike Tobacco.
Which is pretty funny.
Is there a pun in there?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Just his name is okay.
Yeah. yeah, the two of them are out making out in the woods. They see a shooting star or like an asteroid or whatever land nearby, and they go, we should go and investigate that. And they go over to it and they find a big top circus tent, and they go into it and they're looking around and they find a bunch of cotton candy things hanging,
yeah,
that have got people in them that are getting all melted and gooped. And then they find a bunch of gross looking alien clowns who are wandering around and
shooting popcorn, turning people into candy floss.
That's what they do, right? That's it. We're out the gate. We're out strong. It's like 7 minutes into this film, yeah, and we're already well into it.
You missed the whole bit with the hillbilly.
There's a hillbilly who gets gotten. He's got a dog who's called Pooh Bear. He's a very sweet looking dog. He's like a big basset hound.
And he gets killed.
And he gets gotten. We don't know that the dog dies. I mean, he almost certainly does, but we don't know that he does, right? The dog might have been okay. Maybe the clowns like dogs.
Pooh Bear.
I know.
It was how upset he was as well. He's at losing so Pooh Bear. Upset. Like, my best friend, you can't take it. I was like, I hate this film. Instantly. This is the worst. Genuinely heartbreaking.
Yeah. So that kicks off the film. Mike and Debbie manage to get away. They run off back into the town to go and warn people and get help. The clowns start chasing after them. There's a scene where they make a balloon animal dog.
That was pretty cool.
It turns into and barks, like chasing after them, which I thought was very funny.
It's like the invisible dog lead.
That actually also would have been very funny,
yeah,
if they had the invisible dog lead. So they rush off into town. Debbie's ex-boyfriend, Dave, he's a cop in the town.
There's two main cops. I don't know which ones are, if one of them's like the sheriff or...
It sort of implies that the two of them are kind of equally...
Yeah.
Leveled. I don't really know exactly. Dave is the younger one and is also the significantly more professional one.
Yes.
I mean, I hate cops at the best of times, but he does seem to be at least kind of good.
He actually listens to Mike and Debbie when they come to him.
And the other one, Curtis Mooney, played by Dave. Is it Dave Vernon? What's his name? John Vernon, who he's got a voice on him, for one thing. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
He's got a very deep, booming voice. He's just like making fun of him. He's like, oh, look at you playing it by the book, going to police academy. I'm just going to go and rough up some like teenagers who have done literally nothing wrong. I'm going to beat the shit out of them and hold them and actively tell them they don't have rights. And I was immediately like, I fucking hate cops. Yeah. And I hope he dies. Of course he's going to. So yeah, that's one of the things, is the two of them having this rivalry, obviously being very different. Okay. So Dave goes off with Mike and Debbie to go and investigate these clowns. We then get something that continues throughout most of the film, so I'll not go in depth. I can kind of go back to it. There's lots of little bits. They clearly came up with ideas of fun things that the clowns would be doing in the town.
Yeah.
And they filmed all of them separately, and then they just sort of went, like, they, like, peppered them into the film in post. They were kind of like, I guess at this point we'll cut to the clowns in the drugstore. And then we'll cut to the clowns, like, doing a puppet show and killing that guy.
Yeah.
And then we'll do the bit when the clown's outside the burger shop, like, gonna kill the little girl with the big hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. Like, they do a lot of that. They're constantly cutting back and forward to stuff like that.
One thing I will say about that is you can kind of look at it two ways. I think there's probably an argument to be made, like, yeah, they just had all these ideas and just stuck them in.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw it more as like, not world building, I guess.
Mm.
Sort of, you know, as we've got this main plot going on, we are also seeing the clowns essentially take over the town.
Yeah.
We're seeing them killing people,
yeah,
and gradually making their way through the town and just assimilating everyone, you know?
Yeah. They clearly just had a lot of fun ideas.
Yeah.
And they wanted to show us all of those ideas, which I like. I get that it's a bit of a mix because it does mean that the pacing is a little bit weird because it's constantly cutting away to stuff that doesn't really impact anything else. Mm. It doesn't it feel very cohesive. It makes it feel a little bit bumpy and a little bit back and forward. But in general, all of the stuff that they're cutting to is a lot of fun. Like, that's the real highlight of the film, is just the clowns kicking about and being weird and all of these wacky practical effects and them killing people in really funny, clownish ways.
I think the only scene from this film I had seen before watching it is the scene with the bikers.
Yeah.
And the little kid clown who comes up with the boxing gloves.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Knock my block off? And then literally punches his head off.
Punches his head clean off. I love a head getting punched clean off.
Yeah.
When was this?
87?
88.
88.
So this was the year before Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
No.
Where Jason punches a guy's head clean off. And it also lands in a bin. I love that film. It's bad, but I love it. So yeah, we get a lot of these little scenes they're cutting back and forward to. Dave and Mike, they go out into the woods. The tent is now gone. Dave is kind of like, okay, you're fucking with me. I'm going to arrest you. Handcuffs him and puts him in the car. And then goes off to have a look, continue having a look around himself just to make sure. And he winds up finding the car of someone that Mike had reported dying at the beginning that he saw in the candy floss. And it's also got, like, all the candy floss
webbed
all over
up almost
that.
To the candy floss inside, yeah.
I can never remember. Is candy floss the British term? Cotton candy is the
cotton
American
candy
term.
Is the American
cotton
term,
candy.
Yeah.
There you go. You know, in France, they call it daddy's beard.
No, they don't.
They might do. That might be made up. I'm not the one that's making that up. But it might not be true.
Okay.
That's something that I read on the internet one time.
So it must be true then.
Oh, it's got to be.
The internet wouldn't lie to you.
Well, people would just do that. Just go on the internet and lie. Anyway, yeah. So they go out. Dave is then like, oh, okay, right. Something is clearly going on. Kind of starts to get on Mike's side. He still doesn't quite believe him, but he is like,
he knows he's not like lying.
He's like, right, something funny is going on. I don't believe that there's alien clowns attacking, but I do believe that you're not just fucking with me. So he, you know, takes his handcuffs off. The two of them get back into the car and go back into town. At this point, they see one of the clowns doing a puppet show for a group of people, like a shadow puppet thing. And it's very like impossibly good puppets. I don't really know how to describe it. Like, you see he's just got these big clownish hands that have got like three fingers, but then it cuts and it's like a perfectly articulated rabbit or like Washington crossing the Delaware or whatever. And then it turns into a T-Rex, and then the shadow T-Rex like eats the people.
They're just waiting for the bus, man.
Yeah. And Mike and Dave see that and go like, oh my god, it's real. And they start panicking and going out looking for help. Mike goes off to find two of his friends that are like the comic relief characters that...
They own an ice cream van.
It's these two guys that own an ice cream van in an attempt to pick up women.
Yeah, they're both
like
pretty hard up for dates.
They cannot get women. They are convinced that this ice cream van is the way that's going to help them get women.
Yeah.
Mike finds them and is like, I need your help. We need to go and rescue people. We need to go and rescue Debbie. We need to go and rescue other people in the town, whatever. And they're like, we'll do it if we can get laid. And he's like, okay, fine. I guess Debbie has big titty roommates that I'll introduce you to. Which is probably not true, but whatever.
Gets them
along. So they then go off, all of them go off together. Dave goes back to the police station. Or is heading back to the police station. We then see Curtis in the police station, the shitty cop.
Mm-hmm.
He's actively ignoring people in the town because he's still convinced that it's a prank, even though he's getting calls from literally everyone in the town.
Everybody is phoning in saying, there are clowns killing me.
They're not even like, specifically saying clowns. Like, one of them is just like, you need to help me, and then screams. And he's just like, haha, these pranksters think they're going to get me, and hangs up. I'm like, man, you fucker. I hate you so much. One of the clowns shows up and starts fucking with him. He tries to arrest the clown, which is quite funny. The clown's hands come off and he slips out of his cuffs.
Yeah.
he goes in and gets put in the cell, but then the clown just like grabs him.
He smacks his head off the...
Smacks his head against the bars. And then when Dave arrives back at the prison, he finds the two movie punks from earlier that have been cotton candied.
Yep.
And as he's leaving, the clown's like in the sheriff's swivel chair and turns around, and he's got Curtis like turned into a ventriloquist dummy.
This was really creepy.
It is pretty creepy.
Like, and it's also pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Like, that's a pretty horrific way to go with a clown's hand up your keister.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big hand. You know, yeah. It's got a heart.
There is also, and I thought it was exactly the right level of foreshadowing, because I heard the line earlier and I thought it was going somewhere, but I didn't know exactly where they were going with it. And then when it did happen, it felt very satisfying. When Dave is leaving, Curtis says to him, like, oh, that's fine. Go and let them make a dummy out of you. They're not going to make a dummy out of me.
I didn't notice that, but that's good.
Yeah. I noticed when he said it, and I was like, oh, I wonder if that's going to come up later. And then he gets turned into a ventriloquist dummy. That's and he says, like, he starts talking to Dave as the ventriloquist dummy, and he says something like, don't worry, we're just going to kill you.
Yeah.
But in this, like, creepy, like, modulated voice.
Yeah.
And then
when the clown pulls the hand out, it makes this, like...
It makes, like, a slurping noise. And
then a thud. Oh, it's pretty nasty. And his hand's like,
covered in blood.
Yeah.
It is actually grim. Like, this is most of the violence in this film is really just comedic and like nothing. It's like they have some flashy effects and then suddenly they're in a ball of cotton candy.
Mm-hmm.
Or like they get gotten by a big shadow puppet and there's no blood or anything. Even the guy getting his head punched clean off his shoulders.
It's pretty
there's
gimmicky.
Not like a splatter of blood. It's like an obviously fake head landing in a bin and that's it. This is like pretty graphic.
It is. Yeah, and absolutely.
It's an upsetting thing. Dave then fends off the clown, shoots at him, shoots him directly in the nose, which kills him, and he realizes that that's the
key.
Weak spot.
That's how they're going to get them.
That's how you attack the weak spot for massive damage.
The Achilles nose.
The Achilles nose. He is going to kill these nose. No, nothing.
You tried, it's okay. I tried earlier, it's fine.
Yeah.
We all got one.
We get a shot of Debbie back in the house, having the obligatory 1980s horror movie shower scene.
Oh, yeah. No boobies, though.
No boobies. All of the popcorn that was, like, stuck on her clothes from getting shot with the popcorn gun earlier starts moving around on its own, and it's, like, turning into clowns. There's, like, the little clown heads on, like, wormy things. Start attacking her when she comes out the shower. And then one of the clowns gets in, or a couple of the clowns get into her house, and... they trap her in a big balloon and they carry her away as Mike and Dave and the Terenzi brothers, as I'm seeing on Wikipedia, that's what they're called. They, the ice cream van brothers, they go off chasing after them and are like, we need to figure out where they are. And they go off to this like amusement park because that's where the clowns are.
Yeah, and they find the big top again. They find the big relocated.
They go out there. There's a scene... which is very funny. The clowns are in like a tiny little car, because of course they are.
Yeah.
And there's a scene when they arrive at the amusement park. There's like the security guard standing around, and the clown car pulls in, and one of the clowns gets out, and he's like, "You can't. You have to leave. The park's closed. Like, get out of here, dude. You're not allowed in here." And then all the rest of the clowns get out one by one. It's very funny. You know the clown car bit.
You know. Yeah.
But like, it's good. It's a good bit. And then they all pull out cream pies, and they start.
They cream pie the security guard.
They pie the guard. He gets pied and like melts into goop. They're like corrosive, acidic cream pies.
Again, it's pretty graphic. I don't know.
It's like, pretty graphic. There's a
it's
the
not
shot
like,
of like
super realistic, but it's, you know, it is a dude melting and it's all practical effects. So it's pretty cool.
There's a pile of goop and then there's like a skeleton arm hanging out the side of it. They go into the big top, they start investigating. We get another shot down in the little underground bit that they saw earlier where all the cotton candies getting made. One of the clowns like sticks a big crazy straw in it and drinks. It's like fully dissolved the person. They're now goop. And he's like drinking the liquefied
goop.
Person.
Yeah.
Or like the blood. Presumably this is who they are. All of the guys are like speculating about like who the clowns are and what they're here for and everything. And I like that they did that. Because it's not just full-on exposition of, like, this is who the clowns are and why they're here. It's like the characters are speculating, so the audience gets an idea, but it's not...
It's never confirmed, which is kind of like... It's just there are aliens, and yeah, they're goofy, but they come here to feed on us, I guess?
Yeah.
And they're pretty good at it.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
They imply that they've done the Doctor Who thing of, like, the clowns are aliens who came to this planet however many years ago, and this is where our ideas of clowns come from. Which is a very Doctor Who thing. They sort of suggest that. Then they're like, oh, maybe they're just taking a pit stop to get a bite to eat, which presumably is the truth. They're literally just stopping off briefly to eat some people.
Well, given that they kind of fly off at the end without any reason, I guess that makes the most sense.
They rush off. The Terenzi brothers get separated by some big titty clowns. Mike and Dave, they manage to rescue Debbie, and they run off. They're back upstairs. They are then surrounded by the clowns. They try to fight them off. They wind up trapped on top of this big pile of things.
Yeah.
It's like a weird black void with big clownish objects in it.
It's a really cool scene, actually. And I was really impressed at the amount of clown costumes they had.
Yeah.
Like, they have a lot of those masks, and they're all unique.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of them are all, like, animatronic, but there's a lot of them, and they all look different, which was really quite impressive.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of budget this film had, but...
Presumably fairly big. I mean, it's not, like, an incredibly polished-looking film.
No. Do you know what the Tudor Brothers...
1.8 million, apparently.
That's... adjusted, or at the time?
I don't know. That's just what it says on Wikipedia. Okay. Presumably that's at the time.
How it is. The Tudor Brothers, you know what else they did?
They did Critters.
They also did Team America.
Oh, they did, yeah. Police.
They were the puppeteers on that.
Yeah.
But they also, they've done every single claymation / puppet scene for The Simpsons.
Oh, right, yeah.
Over the years.
Yeah.
They've done that as well. That's such a bizarre... like filmography that they've got.
But
it shows that they've obviously got knowledge in the sort of practical side of things.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I want to say, on top of doing the special effects for the first Critters, I think they also maybe directed the second?
Possibly.
Maybe.
Possibly.
I think they're more involved in the second or third. Or both. I can't remember. One of them was made by Mick Garris. I think it was maybe the second one was Mick Garris. And the third one was the Tudor Brothers. Or maybe they just did the effects. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. It's not important. Anyway, so the Terenzi brothers rescue them. They drive their ice cream van into the side of the thing.
They're covered in lipstick marks.
They're covered in lipstick marks, which is pretty funny. It's like cartoonishly big lipstick marks all over their faces. And like their clothes are like a bit ripped. Like they've clearly been like ravaged by these giant big titty clowns. They rescue them by, like, they distract the... They've got a big clown on top of the ice cream van, and they start speaking as if they're a clown, and it distracts all the clowns so that the other three can escape. They go to run off together, but then a giant clown...
Clownzilla.
Jojo the Clownzilla, apparently, is what he's called. Comes down, starts fighting them off, manages to grab Dave while everyone else escapes. The big top starts flying off again into the sky.
Yeah.
And Dave, in his struggle, pulls his police badge off and jabs him in the nose with it.
And it
pops him. And he bursts, and then the big top ship explodes. Everyone is like, oh no, Dave's dead. And then the little clown car crashes back down on the ground with Dave inside it.
And the
Terenzi brothers. Well, they managed to escape earlier, didn't they? Or were they in the clown car as well?
No, they're in the clown car as well.
They're in the clown car as well.
Like, how did you survive? Like, we hid in the ice cream van freezer.
Yeah. They all managed to escape together. And the end of the film is them being like, oh, yay, everyone's safe. That's it. They're gone.
100% away to have a threesome, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Mike, Dave, and Debbie.
So this is the whole thing: is that like Mike and Dave don't really like each other, but
they kind of do,
and they like become friends because they're like working together. They're like begrudgingly at first, but then they it's like that camaraderie, you know?
Yeah.
Dave clearly still has a thing for Debbie. Debbie's not really over Dave. Mike and Dave are currently, you know, getting on hot and heavy. Definitely going to have a threesome.
Yeah,
100%. They have this, like, Dave kisses Debbie, but also has his arm around both Debbie and Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely
going to have a threesome. They're away at bang, 100%.
They're going to go and have a threesome. They're watching the ship explode, and they're like, oh, that's it, that's the end. And then a bunch of pies fly down and land on them.
Yep.
And then it's...
Not the corrosive pies, though.
Not the corrosive, but presumably regular pies.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the film. It, like, freeze frames with them getting pied. And
that classic, like, that open mouth smile.
Yeah. And then that's the end of the film.
Yeah.
Cuts back into some pretty good music.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely rocking. What is it? The March of the Gladiators?
They have
an electric version of March of the Gladiators.
The main song called Killer Clowns, which was written and performed specifically for this film by the punk rock band The Dickies.
The Dickies.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, like...
Yeah. It's got, like, that riff, but then it's got a bunch of, like...
It's like heavy... It's like metal. It's pretty heavy. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
And then the rest of the music throughout the film, I thought, also is really quite good.
It's got this sort of, yeah, clowny, upbeat, but also a bit sinister vibe to it.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much how the film goes. So, yeah, I'd say it works.
It's good fun.
Yeah.
It's good fun.
I found myself really quite enjoying this film. I had never bothered to watch it. It always looked a bit, not gimmicky, but just not my kind of film. It looked a bit too on the silly side of horror for me. Like, I like a horror comedy, but this looked a bit just kind of silly.
Yeah.
But I think they balance it really well, like, surprisingly well.
Mm-hmm.
They balance the sort of silly aspects with aliens that are actually pretty evil. Like, all the deaths in the film are brutal. Like, yeah, they're all fairly horrific.
Yeah, they're very gross looking, the aliens, and, like, they're very sadistic.
Yeah.
Like, they work well as
villains. The fact we've got no reason for what they're doing. They don't speak other than through the ventriloquist dummy Mooney, I guess.
They talk a little bit to each other, but it's all, like, their own little...
It's
kind of gibberish language. Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
So they're kind of this mysterious alien force, which I like. The visuals are all very colourful and fun. Like, all the colours really pop. The pink cotton candy, the colours of the clown's outfits, the big top. It's all very fun.
Yeah.
But with this really underlying evilness to it all. And I think it works. I think it works really well. And I'm annoyed at myself that I didn't watch it sooner.
Yeah.
The acting as well surprised me. I thought the acting was pretty good.
It is good. Yeah.
For late 80s comedy horror film,
yeah,
I was expecting a lot less. But
this is the kind of film where they very easily could have phoned it in with
100%.
But they didn't. It's...
I will say, I was visibly distressed by Pooh Bear's death.
I know.
So, kind of loses points on that.
I did, yeah. Oh, but Pooh Bear.
Yeah, I'll wait to see what you think before I give my rating.
I also really enjoyed it. I have to say, I do just agree with you.
Had you seen it before?
In general. No, I hadn't seen it before. Yeah, it's got some good stuff. Like, I think, in general, the main thing about it is just that clearly the Chiyoda brothers were just having a lot of fun, and they kind of went like, oh, wouldn't it be great if we just did a dumb movie where it was like evil clowns killing people in, like, clown ways.
Mm-hmm.
And they just brainstormed a bunch of stuff, like, oh, what if you, like, wrapped you up in cotton candy and you melted into goo? What if you were, like, covered you in pies and you turned into goo? I guess there's two that's turning into goo. So turning someone into a ventriloquist dummy. Trapping them in a balloon, the like animals, the shadow puppets, the clown car stuff, the, like, the popcorn gun and the balloon animal dog, yeah, and, like, all of that stuff. They clearly just came up with all of these fun ideas and just sort of threw them together. And it's a pretty loose plot. It's pretty generic in terms of, like, horror movie stuff. Like, Yeah. Oh, it's a small town, and there's the couple, and there's the cop, and the comic relief characters, and the plot beats are not very groundbreaking, but they're clearly just using it as a nice little easy framework to deliver a lot of fun, well-made stuff. Like, the effects are good.
Yeah, they're like, everything about the film is technically very good.
Yeah, yeah. It's well shot, it's well executed. I think... I'm going to criticize it a little bit for the pacing, like the way that it's constantly jumping back and forward to this other stuff, like the little ideas.
Hmm.
But that is kind of the whole point of the film. So I can't criticize it too much. It does make the film feel a little bit disjointed, a little bit kind of stop and start. But
see, I didn't feel that.
Fair enough.
I'll be honest. I kind of like the little segues away to, you know, there's the ladies opening the door to get their pizza.
Yeah.
And it's the clowns, mm-hmm. and they just sure.
Yeah.
It's like, it was funny. It was goofy.
Yeah.
The, what do you call it? The pharmacy cashier as well, who just like doesn't know how to react with these two clowns killing his customers and raiding his shop. Like, it was goofy and fun, and they were only like a couple minutes a piece. So these little scenes to just give a bit more, you know, a few more kills and a bit more imagination to the clown's method of of killing people. It was fun. I liked it.
It is. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I would be excited to see more. They've talked about a sequel for years.
I was very, very surprised to see that this doesn't have any kind of sequel.
Yeah.
It seems like such a franchise starter.
It's been in development hell.
Yeah.
They talked about doing a second one for a long time. In the past, like maybe like 5 years ago, I think the rights are now owned by Sci-Fi. Like the Sci-Fi channel.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've talked about doing it. And I think the Chiodo brothers are like involved, basically being like, we've kind of got an outline for like several more movies. Which would be fun. Mm. Like, I would like to see more of this. There's a game coming out.
There is. I mentioned that last week. Yeah. The asymmetrical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. We did talk about horror.
But yeah, it looks, which would be fun. Looks pretty fun. So, yeah.
So, yeah. Good.
What was your score in the end then?
At the time, I said 3.5. I'm now tempted to give it a little bit more. I went for 3.5. I'm going to stick with 3.5.
Okay.
I think it's lacking anything, you know, super exceptional to push it to that 5-star. But
yeah,
overall, like, very well done and just a really fun film. Not going to be for everybody. If you don't like horror films that are goofy, you're definitely not going to like this, because this is like way on the far end of the serious to goofy scale. But it's so much fun for that, you know.
I gave it a 4.
You gave it a 4?
Yeah. Which I think might be the first film that you've recommended that I've ranked higher than you. But I had a ridiculously good time watching it. I really didn't think I would, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was just a lot of fun. I would have given it a higher mark if Pooh Bear had survived at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even joking. Like, that messed me up, man. That made me so sad.
Oh, Pooh Bear.
But yeah, I thought, yeah, really good. Really enjoyed it. A classic for a reason.
Good. It you know what? It really is.
Yeah. Cool. Clowns.
Clowns.
How about clowns, eh?
How about them clowns?
And we managed to do it without picking it.
We did.
I'm proud of us.
I mean, I potentially would have been tempted. I should watch one of them at some point.
Have you watched any of them?
No.
Ever?
No.
Oh.
I've not watched the new ones. I've not watched the one from the 90s either.
The 90s one is overrated as hell.
Oh, okay.
I do not like that film. Oh. Do not understand why people rate it.
Well, there you go.
But that's a story for another time.
Yeah.
That's our Tim Curry episode.
Yeah. We could.
I don't know if he's done other horror films.
Rocky Horror, I do not want to watch.
I'm not watching Rocky Horror. No. I'll veto it.
Great. Agreed.
Next week, kicking off, well, this kicked off 2024, kicking off our first
theme picking for 2024.
Yeah.
We've got another staple of horror, possession. A lot to choose from here.
Yeah.
That's a very wide-ranging theme.
Yeah.
What have you got for us?
I don't want to go first. I've got three in mind and I cannot pick between them. Can you go first and then I will try and get something that's going to complement yours. Hopefully.
Okay. I've there's so many that you could pick from. You've got all the Exorcist films, which we've kind of already done. But
we've done
like,
the two good ones.
We've done the two good ones, yeah. I almost wanted to pick Exorcist Believer just to make you watch it, but then I thought, nah, because I'd have to watch it as well. I thought of Possession, Sam Neill. I don't know how much that is actually about possession or not, but...
It's one of those, like, it's ambiguous.
Yeah, okay.
Is it actually a possession or are they just insane?
Yeah, okay.
Is this just the worst couple in the world?
But, yeah, but I keep seeing people posting about it. And I was like, I should watch that at some point.
Yeah.
But I did a little googly search and had a look at what some recommendations for possession films because I am lazy and just want to pick one from the list. And I'm going to go with one that has been on my list for a while to watch. It is Noroi, The Curse.
Oh, okay.
It's a Japanese horror. Very highly rated, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I spent the half hour before you got here finding a copy, making sure I could find a copy of it so we could watch it. It is an internet archive.
Right.
So we will be able to watch it. Cool. And apparently does have subtitles, so should be good on that. Cool. It used to be on Shudder. It's not anymore.
Right. Shame.
Anyway, looking forward to it. It's mockumentary style.
Okay.
Which I know we both love.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking like mockumentary or found footage?
Apparently it's a mix of both.
Okay.
I don't know exactly how it's formatted. I'm doing my best to avoid anything about the film as much as I can. So I know that it has something to do with possession and I know that it is highly rated and it's one that I want to watch. So
cool.
There we go.
Okay. Nice. All right then.
How are you going to bounce off that one?
So interesting that you mentioned possession because that was one of the ones I was thinking of.
Okay.
Possession with Sam Neill and Isabel Adjani. I'm tempted with that, but it seems like it might be a bit grim.
Does look very depressing. It looks very grey.
Yeah.
It looks like a very grey film.
As much as I would like to, I might save it because you know what? We could do a Sam Neill episode because Sam Neill's been in quite a few horror films.
We could
do a Sam Neill episode.
We could.
One of the ones I had in mind is a film that is very modern. I think it only came out last year, 2023.
I do like a modern.
But it's probably not good. It was recommended to me by my old coworker, who I have no idea how good it's going to be. He was recommending the Pope's Exorcist with Russell Crowe, and I was like, I don't know how good this is going to be. But you recommended it to me, so I was thinking about maybe doing that. But I might go for one that's going to be a little bit more on the... I don't want to say on the fun side, because it's not like it's a comedy horror or anything. Just one that's definitely a little bit less grim.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I am going to go with that, even though it's one that I have seen before, and I try not to do that. I'm going to go with a film that actually did really scare me the first time I watched it, but I feel like now that I'm more into horror films, it's not going to scare me as much. I'm going to go with John Carpenter's Prince of Darkness.
Okay.
Because I've been meaning to watch it again for a while.
I've been meaning to avoid watching it again ever, so thanks for that.
Did you not like it?
Nope.
I remember quite liking it, but it really did scare me.
Why?
There were aspects of it that I found really unsettling. I found the end very scary, and I found a lot of the effects very scary.
Okay.
But that was me watching it by myself in the dark when I was like right at the beginning of my getting into horror films. So if I watch it again now, I'm probably not going to like it nearly as much.
Okay.
But I have been meaning to watch it again. And I don't want to go for anything that's going to be too grim because I feel like Noroi the Curse could possibly be.
It might be, yeah.
It's serious and could be actually genuinely scary. So I don't want to go for anything that's going to be too scary.
Okay.
Got to try and get a bit of a balance.
That's fine. Yeah, okay. It's all good. It's
all good.
It's John Carpenter. I mean, come on, it's not that bad.
Have you seen Ward 13?
No, I haven't.
Keep it that way. It's not a good film. Oh, it's not good.
No.
Okay, right. Possession next week. Looking forward to that. Well, I'm looking forward to my pick.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I did not vibe with Prince of Darkness. Maybe I will reevaluate it or watch it again. I was the same with In the Mouth of Madness.
Yeah.
Did not enjoy that.
I liked In the Mouth of Madness.
I think it's the fact that the two of them are quite abstract in their horror. Abstract the right word? They're weird. They're both weird, right? Yeah. Whereas I like the fog. I like just your cut and dry.
Your a nice horror, classic like, ghost story.
Good ghost story.
A good ghost story or a good slasher.
And whenever I'm watching a John Carpenter film, I'm comparing it to The Fog or The Thing or Halloween. And they're all very straightforward stories.
Yeah.
So when I watch like Prince of Darkness, that's I don't even know what was happening in that film, or In the Mouth of Madness, that you need to be fucking literature expert to understand what's going on in that film. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work for me. So we're not picking that for the Sam Neill episode.
No. See, I would have been tempted.
Or are we? No, we'll see.
It's either that or the Omen 3.
Oh,
Omen 3, the Final Conflict.
Birth of Damon. You see, they're doing a new Omen film.
Yeah.
What's that all about? I never heard about that.
The first Omen, I think it's called.
Yeah.
That's like, it's like a prequel to the original Omen, which doesn't make any sense.
This?
But it's like a journalist investigating the conspiracy in the church where they're trying to bring about the Antichrist. I don't know why they do this. I do not know why they fucking do this. I hate it. I hate it so much.
Yeah.
Coming out this year.
We should do a...
I was going to ask you about
Exorcist Believer versus First Omen.
Horrible. I was going to ask you about 2024 horror films. I know you're excited for Terrifier 3. Have you got anything else you know is coming out that you're excited for?
Actually, not off the top of my head. I would need to see a list of things that I'm looking forward to. Like, I need to see a list of films that are coming out that I can pick from. Yeah. Steamboat Willie, the killer.
Oh, there's going to be one of them, aren't there?
I've already seen three separate films that are doing the same thing.
There's,
it's like, guys, come on.
I know, it's so
coordinate
stupid.
At least.
They're doing, there's a second Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey coming out.
I did see that, yeah. I've not seen the first one. Which I don't really stupid. Have an intention.
No,
to.
I don't want to. There's a new Alien coming out. There's Alien Romulus, I think it's
someone
called.
Cool doing that. Oh, it's Fede Alvarez.
Yeah.
That's doing it.
So we're gonna get
potential, but I'm not holding my breath.
We're gonna get Jane Levy, and she's gonna get impregnated by an alien. Because if there's one thing that Fede Alvarez does, it's put Jane Levy in his films and forcefully impregnate her.
I'm not gonna say what I'm thinking right now.
I think I can imagine what you're saying, and you're disgusting. Yeah, you know what I am excited for? I know that I was actively not calling them pretentious earlier, but like your Ari Asters and your Robert Eggers.
Yeah.
Robert Eggers specifically.
Oh.
Robert Eggers' Nosferatu.
Nosferatu.
The end of this year. Did you see that picture?
Yeah.
Of Willem Dafoe?
Yep.
But
I thought he was playing Nosferatu.
He is in.
I thought he was going to be playing Nosferatu.
You should watch Shadow of the Vampire.
I think that's why I was thinking that.
Yeah.
But no, he's playing the Vampire Hunter.
He's playing the Vampire
That's
Hunter.
So much better.
You've got Bill Skarsgård as Nosferatu.
Yeah, he's got
just
some...
He likes playing a weird guy.
Yeah,
he
he's got some evil gross, chops on him.
Gross monster. Got Nicholas Holt in it as well.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
I like Nicholas Holt. You seen The Menu?
Yeah, he was okay in
that. He's good in that. Evil, but good.
He's an arsehole.
Yep. Yeah, there's probably a good
film. Oh, Maxine.
Are they not... Oh, they're doing... Maxine's coming out. Someone posted about it. What was it called? I can't remember what it's called. It's a slasher that's coming out that looks god awful, but apparently has really great preview reviews.
Oh.
And I have no idea how that works. What is it called? It's called Something Day. It's an American thing. And it's not Judgment Day.
A Quiet Place Day One.
But they've got, it's like a, the killer is like a judge, an old-timey, like, you know, like, pilgrim-esque. It looks kind of like the guy from Thanksgiving.
Right.
But he's got a judge's gavel as his weapon. It looks so stupid. It looks awful. But apparently it's been getting really good previews,
oh,
focus groups, whatever you call it.
There you go.
But yeah, so I'm curious about that as well.
Oh, okay.
I don't mind. I don't mind watching shitty new horror films.
We've got various other things. There's I know you were talking about doing a Steamboat Willie horror movie. There's a, apparently there's a Bambi horror movie coming out.
Oh god, yeah.
Okay. Because people just really can't get enough of that edgy content.
Oh yeah.
Let's see, there's Beetlejuice 2.
Ugh, I do not care about Beetlejuice.
No. There's Godzilla versus Kong 2, The New Empire.
I just watched the first one. It's
not very good.
Fine.
It's fun watching the big guys tussling.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to it. It's not very good. There's that Lisa Frankenstein, I was talking about that. Zelda Williams is directing that.
Oh, yeah. So, and it's written
by the same people that did, or by one of the same, written or produced or something by someone that did Jennifer's Body.
Yeah, you were saying.
Night Swim is apparently good. The one about the cursed, like there's like a haunted swimming pool.
Yeah, that looks weird. It looks like one of those films that's either going to be absolute shite or a really like hidden gem, yeah, you know?
Yeah, apparently it's good.
It was the same with like Megan.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer for Megan and was like, this looks awful. Why would you bother? And then everyone saw it and was like, this is actually a really good horror film.
Apparently, like, genuinely very good. I'm cool. Interested to watch Megan.
Yeah.
My friends call it Ming and Megan, which I think is really funny. I don't know if they refer to her as Ming and Megan or if it's the film specifically that's Megan. Yeah, you got Nosferatu. Saw 11.
I don't care about Saw. Why are people still giving money to see these films?
Smile 2.
I've watched
Smile 1.
I watched Smile the other day. It's all right, actually.
Yeah.
It's not great.
It's
not bad.
Terrifier 3.
Oh, yeah.
There's Stream, which is another slasher that's being produced by Damien Leone, but fortunately, he doesn't have anything else to do with it. He's not writing or directing it. It's got Jeffrey Combs in it. Is that the one when it's Jeffrey Combs is like in the... There's one where it's like a group of people, they go to like a house. They're like in a mansion and...
Which one is Jeffrey Combs?
Reanimator.
Oh.
He's good. I like Jeffrey Combs.
Okay.
He's weird. There's one film that's got him and he's like running some kind of... It's like a hotel or something. I can't remember. Maybe it's that. There's a Crow remake. The Crow. There's a new The Strangers movie. There's the first Omen.
Think, how many original ideas are there?
There must be at least one more. Come on.
How many? There's like Night Swim is the only like original non-sequel film there.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's nuts.
Pretty much.
Why? Right, so all things considered, right, All Hallows Eve is not a good film. But I was going to say at least it's original.
It doesn't have an original idea in it.
It has an original baddie in it, at least.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I mean, obviously that's an older film.
Oh, so
we're not... We're trying to talk about new films that are like that. Smile, yeah. I guess, was a... It was
yeah,
only
but that's
a
Smile
year
2
or
is
two.
A
now
sequel.
Smile 2 is coming out, but it was a fairly original idea. There have been some interesting ones. The Menu, as much as it wasn't particularly
black,
scary.
Black
I thought it
horror,
was,
comedy horror.
It was good, and it was an original idea.
Yeah.
There's been a few... I don't know.
We'll see what 2024 brings us. I don't know if we'll do any more current films like we did with Evil Dead Rise.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any this year that I'm that bothered about.
I'm excited for Nosferatu, but that's not for like a year. I think it's coming out on Christmas Day.
Right,
so that might need to be like
Nosferatu
January
and
next
Terrifier
year.
3.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Right. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being with us for another year. We're excited to... continue bringing you horror content. Ooh. Hooray.
Yeah.
Even if not all the films are great. No. We're expanding our palettes.
Yeah.
Is it horror palette? What do you call it?
Your palette, I guess. You're broadening your horizons.
Yeah, but what's your specific knowledge about films called? Your it's not your backlog.
Your
I don't know. I'm gonna go with palette. Spooky palette.
Your spooky palette.
Yeah, we're gonna get a big spooky palette in 2024.
Your wooden palettes.
Yeah, well,
here's your maw inside the shop.
What are you talking about?
Have you ever seen Burniston? Okay, never mind.
No, I
no one outside of Scotland's gonna get that reference, but yeah. That's fine.
Cool. Right, thanks everyone. We will see you next week for some Possession.
Bye.